Today we're diving into some fun stuff, but this week I had a chance to refresh and unplug, and a couple of our family members and then some extended family members got together. We jumped into the wilderness in a place I've never been in California, and a wonderful couple donated their cabin, but really the adventure was outside the cabin. And we had a time together out in the woods. I got to build my favorite natural tripod out of junk wood laying around and just act like a weirdo. I finally was able to relax, and our family really came together in snow country, Mammoth. And I won't forget what I saw there. But we had a great time, and it was a chance for us to unplug. Many of our workers this morning are doing the same thing. As staff, we want to make sure that we set the example. You know, if we're overworked, you can tell, right? You can definitely tell. I mean, you look up here, you're like, man, that team is dead. That pastor is tired, right? So what's that all about? We need to unplug and spend time with our Creator. And this was one of those weeks for me, had a chance to do that. That video, though, captured an Austrian meadow. And it fills up into a lake in the summer. So literally the park and the benches and the footbridge and everything is underwater as a dive park. I would love to put that in my top 100. I would love to see that. A lot of us here love to dive or snorkel. Can you imagine visiting, machine gun park underwater? That's what those people get to do there. But for those of you who are visiting this morning, and I know we have a huge cruise ship sitting out there, welcome to our cruisers, welcome to the visitors, welcome to Catalina. You're just going to get just the tip of the iceberg. I mean the tip of the beauty. Avalon is beautiful. What's really beautiful about Avalon is the people, our culture here, but the whole island truly is a jewel. Out here, one of the beautiful eight channel islands, but welcome to you. You're going to get a sense of it. You're going to get a taste of it. The cruise shippers get a little taste, but those of us who live here, this is where the season begins to change. I saw the forecast coming up in the next week, and that 50 to 60% chance of rain starting to creep back in. That's a big deal for the Avalonians. Life is beginning to change, and for those of you who are visiting today, welcome. But those of you who have brought friends that are locals here, great job. Great job. If you're here for the very first time, I want to tell you welcome. I go on the campus here, the school, and a lot of people don't know my name. They just know me as Maddie's dad or Gracie's dad, you know. Sometimes I hear that church guy, you know, there's that church guy, coach/church guy, so I get that sometimes. And sometimes when I get that, I can hear him when I walk by him. I'm just like, do you like church? Like, what do you think about church? You know, just randomly nail him with this thing. And sometimes they'll just flat out say, church is boring. And I hear that. And so here, specifically at this church, man, we are trying to break that stereotype that church is boring. We don't want it to be. God's word certainly isn't. Amen? So why should it be taught that way or presented that way, even in song? It's not. And we want it to change. But that's what we're going to do, is break that stereotype. Church doesn't have to be boring. God's not boring. Okay? He created this incredible playground we call Earth, this amazing island. Now, people can be boring, okay? I can be boring, but God is not boring. So if you're here with us for the first time, we want to celebrate. We have three services here. The evenings on Sunday night, we have a Hispanic service, wonderful couple. This place is packed out. We have an 8:30 early risers, the guys that come in here and want to grasp the first part of their day. We have an 8:30 service here. This is a time where we celebrate. And halfway through, we pull out this book here, and unapologetically, we put out the Word of God, and we just have a little teaching time, just a little window where we present something that could bring encouragement, literally to get you pumped up for your day, your week, and to send you out of that door ready. That's the goal. When you come here, you need to know this alone, standing alone, is bombastic enough to pump you up and to keep you going. And that's what Sunday should be like. That's what we want. And it's a sacred time. Let all else fade away, the song said. Over and over again, let all else fade away. Let's pray, if we could. God, would you take our time and take these minutes that we have. Just help us to be different people. we've got this many in this room, we know that there's a lot of pain. There's some people that come today who don't have a relationship with you. They don't understand what this is all about. They're genuinely coming as seekers to find out if you're real. Would you meet them in some way today? And those that come that struggle, and maybe they stumble, they have faith, but they're struggling. And would you maybe have something said? Maybe the power of your Holy Spirit convict them, challenge them, rope them in, God. And those who are sold out, may their eyes be open to greater ways that they can follow you. Thank you that you love us. Thank you for all of it. Let all else fade away this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm starting a new series this week. I literally have no idea if it goes past today. I want it to. I love miracles. This is the time of the year where we start zoning in on hope. People need it. I need it. Some folks are still in the grieving process. And this is a tough time of the year. And hope is all they have to hold on to. Others, financially. Hope, right? Others, a time of family gathering. And maybe it's this trip. Maybe it's this reunion time. We'll get it right, type thing. But we're going to talk about miracles. Have you ever had one of those situations where you said, come on, no way, you have got to be kidding me, when you read Scripture? Or maybe in your own life? I've talked to a couple this week. It's like, no way this just happened. Yesterday, my team was volunteering and doing some fundraising at a golf tournament. We need a lot of money. We want to do a soccer tournament for our team, and to get everyone on the boat and get our transportation, to get our hotel and to play in a tournament, that's at least easily a couple grand with a soccer team, which has very little money and on a tight budget with the county school here. So we do our fundraising like teams do. Yesterday was the golf tournament, and we did our tortas and our burritos. And we moved it around, you know, the guys teed off, we were there, and we got to hole four, they arrived again, bought another burrito, and hit them on hole seven with a 50-50 ticket drawing, got up to $620 in the 50-50, and $400 in the tortas and the burritos. And so the time came for the drawing, and to give away that $620, $310 of which went to the winner of the drawing, who turned right around and gave it right back to the team. Miracle. I wasn't expecting it, but that was our transportation budget that we needed. Made $1,000 yesterday in just 5 hours. The team put in the work. They did their baking. We brought out the table and chairs and signs and our jackets and looked good. They did their part. The rest was up to God. The rest was up to hungry golfers that wanted to participate. We're diving into something that has similar formula to it. What is it we do? What is it only God can do? Hopefully that makes sense this morning. But for some of us, you know, it's crazy to think that a miracle could happen. I know for high school guys, a certain girl says yes to the prom, and you're like, no way, you've got to be joking me. But when I was in seventh grade, I remember specifically this kid, Tommy Dorsall. In my seventh grade class, he told me that his dad worked for the Academy Awards and that they were looking to bring on some extra help to help with the lighting. And it would be $25 an hour. Now, I was in seventh grade. That was a lot of money back then. It's like $100 back then. $25 an hour is still a lot of money. But I was sitting there telling my mom, Mom, my friend's dad works for the Academy Awards. And he needs help with the lighting. I've got to do this. I got a shot at meeting Harrison Ford, my favorite actor. Indiana Jones, any other? Seventh grade, man, that was it. I wanted to see if he had that real scar going. Was it real, you know, kind of a deal? And I just, this is my shot. Only to find out later, after my mom investigated this, Tommy basically was a pathological liar and in need of friends. So the whole thing didn't pan out. But I was duped into it. And I was so excited for a little while. Tommy ended up getting me in a lot of trouble. But I remember the feeling of anticipation, like this could be real. And if you've ever taken the time to read a little bit about Jesus, some of the miracles he did that are recorded in this book, the Bible, literally, some of you might read it and go, come on, no way. You are joking. I get it. It's a great book, but that just doesn't happen. As we look at some of these miracles, what I want to do is define it here. Very practical stuff. That's who I am. And I really want to take all of Jesus through these pulpit moments while I'm alive and offer him to you. Not me, not my words, but define what Jesus was up to in these miracles. When God created the earth, he defined consistent laws which determine the way things work. One of them is gravity. Okay? Perfect example. If I was to jump off the stage right now, I would land thud right on the ground. And that is a great example. God designed some of these laws. Science is nothing more than studying the aspects of creation, literally trying to figure out how it works. Okay? But a miracle is nothing less than God setting aside rules for the purpose of revealing himself to creation. Okay? Us. That's a miracle. It's God's chance to say, I know what laws look like, I know what science looks like, but this is going to blow your mind. Just wanted to reveal myself to all of you. Another way we might define a miracle is an extraordinary event of divine intervention. Divine, meaning God. Okay? What does intervention mean? Thinking about it. So intervention would mean if an incoming group of people were talking during my message, I would step back and leap from here, landing in the middle of the pew, and intervene. So there you go, intervention. That's a great example. But I would intervene in the pew. A miracle is simply an extraordinary event of God. God's intervening when he lands and says, here's what it looks like. This week, with that photo that you guys saw, literally of standing on this tree that was the size of a Volkswagen in width, and literally looking at tons of trees like that, and then looking up a mountainside that was just as jagged as ever, Whitney, just as rugged as it could get, highest peak. And seeing some of these things, realizing this is way beyond me. This is way beyond what I would see, especially living on Catalina. In my own mind, I had to step out of that world. I see God intervening. He's sitting there with intervention going, let me show you what I'm really up to. Some of us go to the Rocky Mountains a couple times each year. Others, maybe it's Florida and it's the Keys or the Everglades, wherever it may be, Death Valley, below sea level. You understand that there is something way outside of who you are that God has created for you to find him. His intervention is there. Literally looking at the face of another person, maybe sitting beside you right now going, this God is amazing. You've heard the fact that no two snowflakes are alike, right? Have you ever thought about that? Or the fact that no two sunsets are alike? Those shots of the dolphins surfing in the water and the fact that they time it just right. And as the wave curls, they bail out the back. Unbelievable intervention of God, just setting himself up to say, let me show you what's outside of what you think this morning. When I was in eighth grade, I prayed for a miracle. I had a blister that got infected on the back of my heel. And I played soccer all day, every day, when I wasn't fishing, okay? But I was always out there. And I remember, man, I played, and I got pretty good at it. But when I was going at it, one time, I got some new shoes, a blister formed. The coaches really, back then, didn't really know how to care for things the way that, you know, today we have all kinds of stuff for blisters. So they just thought, just keep playing, it'll wear off or it'll callus. All it did was get infected. Eventually, I had to lance the thing with a doctor who sliced it open, and you can go there if you want to, but it was gross. And I remember praying for a miracle, but I had to see a doctor who basically crammed some Neosporin junk in there and everything else and said, you're not playing soccer for 4 days. And nature had to take its course. But I remember that. I remember another time where I climbed a tree and I was literally almost 3 stories off the ground and the branch broke and I fell 3 stories straight down. And it was like I landed on a mattress. I got up, I dusted myself off, I walked in the house, barely able to speak, but I had not lost my breath. I had no broken bones, not a bruise on my body, My mom was doing dishes. I said, Mom, I just fell out of the tree out back. She said, that's nice. Kept doing dishes. I said, Mom, I fell from the top of the tree. She said, what? Staring me down. Took her outside, showed her the branch, showed her where it broke. She panicked. I didn't break my neck. That was a miracle. I stand here to this day knowing someone caught me, and that was a miracle. You put yourself in that position, driving, okay? Even in a golf cart, cruise ship day. Never know. Biking down the summit, maybe a tour bus coming down the summit. You know, it doesn't matter. Dive park, something where you know this shouldn't happen. I got hit with a wave at shark one time. I was out there. It was way bigger than I should have been out there. And I got hit, and I came up, barely got a breath, and another one hit me in the head. And I went down even deeper, and I didn't think I was going to get to the surface. I thought, this is it. And I'm just looking for something. And I just basically climbed my leash back to the top. And I realized, I'm here. Someone was watching me. God had his hand, and I got out of that water and thought carefully about going back in. But I was protected. So I put these two together, and basically with the blister story, I didn't need a miracle. I just needed four things to just heal. I needed to follow the doctor's orders and stay off the shoe. I thought different shoes would help. All they were doing was causing bigger pain. The other situations were beyond my control. And what happened with the doctor situation, things played out and they healed, like he said. But for people that are in this room, some of you come in here and you walk in looking like you have the part. You have it all together. We have it. It's cool. We're moving into the holidays. We have control. Finances are going to work. And we have this attitude somewhat. What are you going to teach me? I've got some balance going on. I mean, I have some issues here, but what do you have for me? Deep inside of who you are, there are people out there that are dying for a miracle, to be loved. For who you are, not having to change or adapt, but for who you really are. A miracle to be transformed, that you don't like the character you have been becoming along the way. Maybe you're here seeking a character adjustment, and that it's going to take a miracle. Maybe a miracle within your family. Gosh knows, family is a constant thing. And it can go high and it can go low. We need a miracle in our family. I know I do in mine. For others, it may be the fact that you're feeling love for the first time. I'm not sure what to do with it. Or maybe the fact that it could go better in the love situation that you're in. And maybe it's this time of the year. I just need this miracle. That's why movies are so big. Everybody hits movies. There's these movies of hope, you know, that this person could change and be something different. We'll pay good money to go see it. Others, you know, back in the day, Miracle on 34th Street, God can just simply do something that's bigger than us, and maybe we'll get that house that's way out of our budget, or maybe restore a relationship, maybe a marriage even. And I want you to know, sometimes nature will take its course. Sometimes the pain is still going to be there. Sometimes it just needs to wait out. Other times God comes in. For instance, some of you are sitting here. You're in church, and it's a miracle. You said, no way am I going to go inside that building. No way. And God's sitting up there going, see, I told you, there they are, right there. They made it. That alone. Or maybe you wanted to go, but 1,000 things happened this morning to stop you from coming, and you still made it. It's a miracle. This is kind of an overview message. I'm going to break down some miracles next week, but I'm leading into something that's bigger. I have to have this in my life. I just got housing, as a lot of you already know. I literally had resigned to a whole nother situation, and God showed up and provided a whole other situation. I mean, last minute, down to the wire. How many can relate to a last minute, down to the wire thing? Raise your hand. Look around. Like, this was not on my radar, and God showed up and did something outside. I want to live like that, expecting a miracle. The Bible says miracles are seen over nature. If you receive one of these coming in, these are your sermon notes. They're really cool. Just fill in the blank right there, okay? The word nature. Take a moment. Miracles are seen over nature. I got that because I got out of here this week. I unplugged. One of the most unbelievable pieces of nature I saw was a young little Emmy. I watched him be so excited and cry within 2 seconds. Going back to being excited again. I'm getting my way. I'm not getting my way. Oh, well, I guess I'm not going to get my way, and I'll have to live with it. I saw him grow up a little bit. I saw him learn how to carry wood for a fire and wear his headlamp out in the snow. Little Emmy. And I just thought, what an amazing creation. His thinking. And his sister, who was so proud of her brother. And the beauty, how her hair just curls in the morning, naturally. You don't have to do anything to it. Only God could be behind the design. And I really had a hard time studying the trees and other things. I just looked at these kids, and it made me think back over my four, one of which I still have in the house. And then yesterday, my son turned 24, my oldest, who's leading people to Jesus. A miracle. People forget. Oftentimes, the greatest nature you'll see is what God does when he creates people. I see that and go, that's a natural phenomenon to me. Just the look, the fingerprints. But there are those miracles. Jesus, literally, 5,000 people fed when only given 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. Fed everybody. How did he do it? I don't know. It worked. It's a miracle. Calmed the storm. Walked on water. One of my favorite miracles over nature, when he cast demons out of these lunatics and literally into these pigs they went. Pigs go flying over the cliff. And literally, they were possessed pigs. Maybe that's where the term deviled ham comes from. I don't know. But these things are just completely, you know, gone. And these men literally watching this happen. And this man's life changed forever. Who the town knew. Cast in chains and free. Miracles over nature. Miracles over bodies. People. Jesus healed bodies. Boy, I can't wait for the next couple of weeks. I get to pick and choose what God has to put into these messages. What do you want this week, God? What is it you want? What miracle do we need to expose your glory in over bodies? Made blind people see, paralyzed people walk, deaf people hear. Even a leper was healed. Some people didn't even want to be around a leper, and he touched a leper. Miracles that we read about in the Bible are not only miracles over nature, but over bodies as well. Then over death, the ultimate miracle, death. Jairus' daughter brought back to life completely. Lazarus healed from outside the tomb, had to get up and walk out. Can you picture standing there after this man had been buried for 4 days? Where do miracles lead us? What's the deal with a miracle? Why even read about miracles? Why talk about them? Do they still happen today? Number one, miracles verify that Jesus was God's son. They were his calling card. This was clearly his verification. John 3 says this, great verse here. There it is. Teacher, we all know that God has sent you to teach us. Your miraculous signs are proof enough that God is with you. There's a group of people who are here this morning, and I love it. I really do love you all and every group that comes, but there is a group I'm particularly excited about, and they are what I call seekers. You're not Christians yet, but you're genuinely seeking, checking out this God thing, and I invite you to keep doing that. You're not sure, but you're checking it out, and you're looking into this. You don't know if this Christianity thing is real. Quite honestly, it may be way different than the way you were brought up. It may be night and day. Folks, it's simply just Jesus. Anything else gets in the way, keep checking it out. I encourage you to continue investigating Jesus. Some of you look at other Christians saying, he goes to church? Are you serious? Forget it. That must not be real. Unfortunately, you're judging Christ by looking at other people. I encourage you to investigate Jesus. No one with any intelligence denies that Jesus existed. No one with any IQ. Facts are facts. Historians can tell you there was clearly a man who walked this planet named Jesus. Historical facts show it. So I don't think we have an issue with that. But what we have issues with is whether or not he was who he says he was. Was he clearly the Son of God? And you're going to have to come up with that answer. You better come up with an answer to that one. Your entire life hangs on the balance of that answer. Do you believe that he was God's Son? If you do, you ought to be a Christian, to be honest with you. Otherwise, what are you doing? It's just foolish. If you don't believe he was God's Son, then okay, blow it off. But his miracles clearly verify that he was. And some of you haven't seen some of those miracles in your life, but certain times you'll attend a sporting function. And you'll be like, no way. And I saw Reed put on that that hockey game, the miracle, the movie that came from that. Anybody remember living through that and seeing that on television? And I mean, you were about to walk away. What a comeback. What a comeback. And a few years ago, we had a guy named Tiger Woods do his own Nike commercial. Remember this one? Where he was just, I've tried this, and I would break a stained glass window if I tried it this morning. Remember where he just picks up the ball, and he starts juggling it like this, and then he kind of goes through the legs a little bit and around the back, and he pops it up really high in the air, and then he takes it, and he jacks it a good 200 yards while it's still up in the air, you know? And you're sitting there going, there's no way that happened. He does that all the time. Golfers do that all the time. I would love to attempt it. I remember when I was little, and I was in my garage, and Harrison was with me. He was like around 8, and we had golf clubs sitting around, and I picked it up, and I literally just, I hit it too hard, and it was a concrete wall garage, and it went around and almost killed the two of us, and my son realized Dad is not a golfer. I love golf, and I've got some game here and there, but I'm not like some of these guys I watched yesterday. I mean, I literally watched an entire tournament. Guys went around twice. I saw you, Oscar. I was watching guys put it in the hole. I saw a guy put it from the pin this far on 7, and it was fun. And then I saw some guys that just stunk. They were terrible. I was behind the tee, and a ball goes past my nose. I've like got my team there, and I mean, they hit a tree, and it goes one past my head over here, and I was like, you need to rethink this. But clearly, I can see that guy's got talent. That guy has talent on. And I could juggle a soccer ball. I'll sit here all day and juggle a soccer ball. I've worked hard for that. But I haven't worked hard for golf. I don't have that game. And literally, I look at what you do. Some of you guys are professionals. I see the evidence of your handiwork in town, or the way your family looks, or your business that you run. And I say, that person is in it. They are on it. Very passionate, gifted, good at what they do. They're making a difference in our community. They're making a difference in their neighborhood, in the school system, the children, and certainly here in Avalon and in our coves. They verify who you are. And if you're a seeker here, continue to investigate this so-called mythological character, because he's not. The evidence is off the chart on who he is and what he does. It's also a sign of his compassion. Number two, a sign of his compassion. When he did something, it was compassionate. You guys remember when he turned water into wine? Maybe you heard that story. It was at a wedding, and it seemed premature. He wasn't really ready to do this. He was kind of telling his mom, this isn't it yet. And yet he turned around and just gave him not just any wine, but the best wine. And people recognize that. Went over the top, tells us that Jesus literally is the character of God himself. And if you think God is distant, who he wants, you know, nothing to do with you possibly, because you're one of 6 billion people on this planet, and there's just no way he could care about you. And I'm looking at that photo. That's not 6 billion, but can you imagine? That's just a fraction of this. I don't care if you're not listening this morning or paying attention. I don't care if you think you're too cool or you came in here with it all together. God loves you, and he's compassionate about you. No matter where you look or turn your back on him or go 100 miles an hour in the opposite direction, he still is passionate about you. The Bible says, Jesus felt sorry for them, touched their eyes. Instantly they could see. God feels sorry for some of the lives in here, possibly that are being destroyed. And maybe today is just your day to visit. You need to hear this no matter how far you go with your life, how much destruction you cause. I don't care what it looks like. He doesn't love you less when you decide to destroy your life. his heart just breaks. But he doesn't love you less. If I looked at my 15-year-old and I noticed she was in the backyard just rolling joints and I'm going to love her, am I going to love her less because she's doing that? And I'm looking at her and I'm like, that's my daughter. Are you kidding me? I love her. I don't care what it looks like right now. It's ugly, but I don't want her doing this when she's 25. And all of a sudden, something inside me kicks in. I love her. I'm going after her. She's worth it. And that's God. I love you. I'm coming after you. I'm looking down the road, and I want something different for you. And I'm passionate. Hang in there. God wants to do that. Instantly, he wants to change something. He feels sorry and touches the eyes of those that need to see. He makes it personal. And as Grace's father, I love her, but my heart would break because of that disobedience. My heart would break in pain, but it would not stop loving her. And after I pick up the pieces and I realize what happened, take a deep breath, I'm going to press on. And I'm going to go after her. And that's compassion. I'm in love. That's the way God sees you. Passionate. He's in love. He wants to come after you. Number three, people literally can find eternal life from a miracle. They can find eternal life. Whether you're a seeker, stumbler, sold out, question, where are you going to go after you die? Do you just stay in the ground, become worm bait for millions of years? Do you reincarnate into a fruit fly? What do you believe? Because literally, really, what you believe about what happens after life directs and encourages and can motivate who you are and how you live today. I literally am going through this right now. It's not a midlife crisis. I want to know that the miracles that I see are playing themselves out, and at the end of this whole deal for me, there is something life-giving for me. Versus, oh, that's nice. Oh, that's great. Oh, another cool miracle. Good. Yeah, we could use one. Hey, this is us awesome too. No, they're playing themselves out. There's a reason that life can be a blessing for you guys. There's something there. There's something life-giving at the end of it. And if you're not receiving that, or God, in so many ways, you've talked and you've asked, and all of a sudden you're not hearing anything, and you just decide to go off and do your own thing, realizing I still love God, but I'm just not hearing from him. And you take this road over here. Bottom line here is this. You fall into some type of boredom, addiction, something needing recovery, because you're trying to do this without God. It is Godless. And you're tired. He pulls about a miracle in your life to wake you up and to say, I am still around, man. I'm still here. You know that one time you prayed, please, God, make the car start this one time. And what happens? Sometimes it fires up. But what if it doesn't? Where is your heart? Is it that flimsy that, yes, there's a God, it started. No, there's not a God, it didn't start. You know? Think about it for a minute. Eternity. That's a huge issue to just throw into whether or not God answers my prayers the way I want him to. Miracles, though, will point you in the right direction. Miracles will point you in a direction that says you need eternal life. What does it say? Great verse. But these were written so that you might believe that Jesus was just another good man? No. That you might believe that Jesus was just another good teacher? That Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. And by believing in him, you have life. Do you want to spend eternity with God or separated from God? I'm not making this up. I'm just teaching what's in God's Word. And if you care enough about your life, you'll check it out. I think you do. That's why you're here. Miracles lead to eternal life. Look for them in your family. Look for them in your situation. Look for them in the mailbox. How do you make God's miracles meaningful for your life today? How do you turn something around and say, I'm going to make something of this miracle? Something's going to happen to me. Number one, you realize that nothing's too big for God. That's my instant life change. Okay? A situation this week with a really great job plus housing came to a wonderful couple, good friends. It could have gone either way. They took a risk in a situation that could work out, but not knowing the other situations looked like they were something that will work out. This was a risk. God did something here that totally was a miracle. They're living in that right now. God did this. And so to make that miracle have meaning in their life, they turn around and the first thing they do is acknowledge God and say, nothing is too big for God. Instead of, that was nice. We deserved it, actually. We had one coming to us, you know. Think about it. Nothing's too big for God. Take these notes home. Think about this at least once, that nothing in your life is too big for God. Some of you may say, my parents are out of control. Divorce is imminent. There's no money in our house. There's a lot of anger. I'm literally being abused. I don't feel loved. My boyfriend dumped me. My girlfriend's pressuring me. Whatever. Nothing is too big for God. Nothing. There's a guy named Lazarus. It says, on his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been dead in the tomb for 4 days. And when he had said this, Jesus called out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out! And the dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and cloth around his face. Some of us in here think we have problems. This dude's problem was he's been dead for 4 days. You know? King James says, oh, how he stinketh in the scripture if you look at it. Jesus must have said, come out. Nothing is too big for God. I know there's a lot of pain. I've had conversations with many of you in this room, even in this past week. I know there's pain. Nothing's too big. Nothing in your life is too big for God. If you leave here today and you're confused about something, don't be confused about this. Nothing is too big for God. Please say that with me, whether or not you believe it. 1, 2, 3. Nothing is too big for God. I'd love to put that bumper sticker on my golf cart. It's a small golf cart. Nothing's too big for God. My housing situation and a million other things. If you sat here, I couldn't talk to you enough about how I've seen evidence. And I've seen evidence where I need it either way. Something great's going on. Nothing's too big for God. Something horrible is happening in my family right now where I need God no matter the circumstances. He's clearly done this. I clearly have to have him here. Either way, nothing's too big for him. I'm being taught a lesson here, or I'm learning something, or I never saw that coming. Either way, nothing's too big for him. I love that. But I'm going to flip it over because nothing's too small for God either. I mean, you got to go there. You think, I shouldn't pray about this. I mean, we got this. Right, honey? We got this. We can do this. We don't need to pray about this one. What color this is or when we do this vacation. We got this. Be careful. This is a dumb thing. God's busy with everybody else. I don't have to pray about this one. I'd take the small things to him too. Because quite honestly, those are the things that are dictating the course of your life anyway. So develop a pattern of trusting him in the small things. When the biggies come, you got this. You know right where to go. I know you've cared for me on these small issues. I wasn't sure if I should go out to lunch with this client or not. Should I accept this offer? Do I turn around and make it to the 10:30 or go to church today at 8:30? Do I go? Which boat do I catch? Should I buy that boat book now? You know, these are little things. But quite honestly, they're consuming our time and our energy, our thinking. Take it to God. Get some good practice going in the small stuff. When the big stuff comes around, what are you going to do? You're going to go to him with that anyway. It's developing things in a different way. My son shared a birthday yesterday, and I heard a song. He writes lots of songs. He's a musician. And he wrote a song here that specifically he recorded literally out in the Florida wilderness. It doesn't get any more outback than this. And his wife, Lizzie, joins him on this. These words are really cool, and they go right along the theme here of looking for God, listening for the small things. So let's check this out.
Steps on the floor, the constant closing of the car door. Our hearts are chained to a screen, suffocating as they scream. When you listen, do we hear? You'll stop to listen. When you'll stop to listen. When you listen, do you hear? Can you listen with your heart, not just your ear? When you listen, do you listen with your heart, not just your ear.
Tell you right now, nothing's too small for God. When you listen, when your eyes are open, are you paying attention? When you drive up that summit and you go through that conservancy gate, when you listen, do you hear? Are things drowning it out? When you walk down there and sit on that jetty, Harbor Patrol guys get to go out in those boats late at night and the lights go off and you look up and you see the tapestry of the most unbelievable handiwork. Do you hear? Is it being drowned out? God is in the small things. He makes himself available to us, big and small. Listen, hear, settle. Create a posture for your life of hearing from God. Put the other things away. Put the stuff aside. Unplug from the matrix, as they say. Nothing's too small for God. Sometimes my daughter will come in. She's packing for this last trip, and she'll say, "Hey, you know, should I take this shirt? What do you think about this shirt?" Well, I do that a lot. I want to know. She wants to know as a father, would you pack this jacket, this beanie? And what am I going to be like? Oh, figure it out, kid. You know, I like that beanie. I would definitely take that jacket. You know what? I would leave this jacket. It's going to be pretty cold. Bring a thicker jacket. Small things. Go to your Father, your Heavenly Father. Say, "I'm not sure about my kid. I'm not sure about my car. I'm not sure about this next financial decision. I want to listen. I want to hear. I'm going to settle in whatever you tell me to do. but I need to hear from you. And stay on it. Pursue your Father. He's a good Father. And He's a Father to those that still need parenting, still fathering. Maybe the one on earth didn't come through. He can still father you. He is the Father to the fatherless. And He cares. Listen and hear. When you got a problem, you usually go to your buddies anyway. You talk to the one who can solve the problem. I want to talk to you because you've had some experience with this. I want to hear from you on this. And you stay after them. When are we going to get together? You know what I'm talking about. So why not go to God like that? You're the one that can get us out of this. I want some time with you. Number three, would you risk asking God for a miracle in your life? Would you? Maybe the first miracle for those of you is seekers is, God, I want a relationship with you. Maybe that's the first one. I don't want to be religious. I don't want to practice all this weird extra stuff. I just want a relationship that I know is real. And all the other stuff, I'll try to figure that out later. But the essential thing is, I want you in my life. Risk it. Some of you in here are sold out. You've been to church your whole life. You've totally committed to God. Would you risk asking God for a miracle that He might call you into something bigger full time? I never had anyone tell me that growing up. I never had someone look at me and say, you might want to consider following in full-time ministry. And I'm going to say it. Because I may be talking to someone in this room that literally is avoiding a call from God. You need to get in touch with Him. He's got something bigger for you in ministry. He might give you the courage to lead your friend to Jesus. Would you risk asking for something big? There's a story in the Bible, and I hope you take the time to read it, about a woman who had been bleeding for 12 years. A couple months back, we had a great message on this, and the doctors couldn't heal her. She'd heard about Jesus. While there was a crowd everywhere that Jesus went, the woman found her way through the crowd, thinking she could just touch Him. She could be healed. She took that risk, and she was healed. I encourage you to read this whole story. It's in Mark chapter 5, by the way, Mark 5. And I encourage you to risk asking God for a miracle. Some of you in here say this, I pray all the time and I ask God for miracles. Hobbs, I mean, you're preaching to the choir here. It doesn't seem like He's answering it. Can I tell you something real simple about prayer that somebody taught me when I was in high school, actually, and I never forgot? God's answers are a lot like a stoplight. And sometimes God hears your prayers and He says, no, you think you may want it. When I take my kids out to Vaughn's Express, and it doesn't seem like they just want the deli sandwich. They want everything else that Vaughn's has to offer. No. Okay. Bottom line. And hey, can I have one of everything here? I remember when they were younger, and right before Christmas, we'd hit Toys R Us or whatever, you know. No matter what aisle it was, we had to have all of it. And I'm like, no, 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 no. I was the no guy. We'd go to an arcade, and their favorite game to play was Game Over. Because we didn't have the dough. But they'd sit there and simulate on a game that said Game Over the whole entire time. They didn't know. But I remember those fun years. I knew what was best for them. They had a blast going on the motorcycle anyway. It wasn't doing anything, but they were still having fun on it. You know. And occasionally God would bless us, and we'd hit a Chuck E. Cheese, and they'd just go nuts for hours. God has a way of regulating things. Sometimes He gives you the yellow light. Wait. It's coming. But wait. Would you wait? I want to work some things into your life. And you're not ready for this yet. But I want to work some things there. It's coming. Wait. God hears our prayers, but He says, wait. Other times, it's the green light. Go. What are you sitting around here for? I said, go. Get moving. That ministry idea you had, do it. The city council needs to hear your ideas on how to stop this or create that or energize this. What are you waiting for? Get up front. Tell them what you got. Go. Okay? Or something is about to crash and burn. Maybe it's going on here at this church. Something is happening in a larger circle than you. And you're hearing from God and you need to speak and you need to say something. Say something. Go. Get the help you need to those who will listen. Be passionate about what God says or doesn't say. Listen for him. People think I pray all this stuff. God doesn't say yes. And answered prayer is not always yes. And answered prayer is sometimes no or wait. But risking and risk asking God for a miracle in your life is worth it. One last thought. I put this here. Your job with life is to do the possible. Investigate Jesus. Check this thing out. Realize that nothing is too big, too small. Ask God. Be involved in a small group. We got guys' groups, girls' groups, teen groups, kids' groups, women's groups, senior groups. You got a group? You like hanging out? Are you too cool? Are you too scared? Is it too weird? Give it a risk. Give it a shot. I'm just talking about groups within this fellowship. There's others. I couldn't even count how many women's groups there are. They're all over the place. There's a new one forming. Why? Because people want to meet. Not all the time they can. And then they find a time where they can. So there's a group. This is the Thursday can group. This is the Monday can meet group. Why? Because when you hear of other people and you hear what's going on in their life, it encourages you. When you share what God's doing in your life, you encourage someone else. Here's why. You do the possible and have faith that God will do the impossible. You bake. You dress up. You bring the table and chairs. You show up for the fundraiser. I have no idea if we're going to sell all these tortas. I have no idea if they're going to buy my burritos. I don't know what the 50-50 is going to look like. And then you walk away with $1,096 like my team did yesterday for 5 hours of work. That's the impossible. All of a sudden, I got a soccer tournament. We didn't have one going into it, but we did what we could do. We left the rest up to the golfers. Do what you could do. May Thanksgiving be a time where you turn around and say, man, I've got someone in my life who has my back. Thank you for having my back. Now lead me. Your season of hope is here. It's not just because it's Christmas. Because you serve someone who is in the big and the small. He wants you to ask. So let's do that this morning. I'm thankful that you're here. God, thanks that you still do miracles today. Nothing that's going on in our life is too big for you. You created this planet. You created everything around us. Nothing's too big for you. Sometimes, God, we think that you're so distant. And yet it's because we don't understand you. And we realize that nothing's too small for you. Lord, may some of us in here risk asking you for a miracle. You love us. You hear our prayers. And you answer with what is needed and necessary. And if it's a relationship, my goodness, I say in this prayer to you folks that are seeking, what are you waiting for? I mean, you can still check this out, but you're going to find life at the end of this. Life-giving. What are you waiting for? God, help them. Give them the courage and the strength. Show them what their miracle looks like. May hope be renewed and restored in the lives of those that are searching. Thank you for this season, and may we get into it and really see you are all over it. Regardless of the media, regardless of the news, regardless of the things going on, there is an amazing God still on the throne. Amen? In Jesus' name.